This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA with the greatest co-host in radio history, Michael Kirkpatrick, the 439th, and Brady Hole.
Spencer, how much did Michael Kirkpatrick pay you to record that last little insult there about him being my co-host? How much did he offer you, man? Because I'll triple it.
That was a Shohei Ohtani level deal. I'm going to be getting paid until 2070.
He spent his life savings on that. And you know what he'll say? Well worth it, man.
Well worth it.
Yes, well worth it. Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies. Spencer, why do I feel like that was almost a win last night? Like, not almost a win. I felt like it was a win. Just the way this game played out, the grittiness, this feels like this is starting to become who this Rockies team maybe could be very, very soon. I get it was a loss, but man, it was a fun game to watch, and there were so many good takeaways from this one.
This team just flat out doesn't quit, Brady. They are starting to believe in themselves, and that's what's been so awesome. You saw the moment from Cole Kerrick getting in Dalton Rushing's face. Like, Cole Kerrick has added so much more than just being a great five-tool player on the field. I think he's given them a little bit of swagger, and then when you start winning some games like they have over the past week, I think it becomes contagious, man. And this team had the contagious gene of losing the past 4 years, where it also goes both ways. We see it in all types of sports. You feel like you've been there before and you can close out and you can win. And that's where the Rockies are, obviously still one of the worst records in the league and not where they want to be ultimately, but they're starting to feel like they can win baseball games, and the entire roster feels it.
Didn't win 37 games until like August 20th last year. So, I mean, even though, yes, they're still 37-55, the improve is, I think, beyond what a lot of people thought this team, where this team would be. You talk about Cole Kerrick. I mean, every time that dude steps up to the plate, I have quickly, my confidence level has quickly just grown into, oh, something good's going to happen. Something is going, and if it doesn't work out, I'm almost going to be shocked if he strikes out.
The guy is a firecracker. I don't know how many bats he's broken in his limited time in the MLB, but it's a high number. Every time he strikes out, last night you could actually hear it pretty clearly. I think he struck out in the fifth or sixth inning, and you could hear the shatter of the bat on the field microphone after he struck out. The guy's fiery. He wants to win. He's good at everything, and he's the perfect player to be injected into this Rockies roster right now. Unfortunately, he just plays the outfield, where a bunch of other really good players for the Rockies are right now, but he is going to start in center field and hopefully for a long time.
What was it in the altercation between he and Dalton Rushing? Because Dalton Rushing's had a few things. He's not a big Rockies guy. He's not a big fan of the Rockies. They seem to get under his skin. And Cole Kerrick got under his skin last night in extra innings. That was a moment to not just his play, but his presence, his attitude, who he is as a player for this Rockies team. I loved it. Brushing off Dalton Rushing, saying, what did he say? Like, get out of the way then, man. If you're going to complain, move out of the way. That's my favorite moment. One of maybe top three moment from last night.
Yeah, he's just a fiery dude. And Christian and I actually talked about this on the show this morning, and where this Rockies team has been, obviously last year, one of the worst years in MLB history, not just franchise history, but they were built of a team of guys that just seem to be kind of nice guys, right? And Kyle Freeland is the one guy you can kind of point to over the years that's been fiery, but it's really tough to be fiery and competitive when you have a 6+ ERA as a starter, right? You got to back that fieriness up with a little bit of good play and some consistent play out on the baseball field. And so Cole Kerrick is combining both of those, being a young, I think Warren Schaefer called him a stallion, which is kind of what he is. We were there for his debut, and the kid's just, he's kind of got that blind confidence, and that's what you want to see. And it's infiltrating the rest of the Rockies locker room, because he's not going to take any you-know-what from anybody. And I love it. It was so unfortunate that Dalton Rushing ended up getting the final hit, the walk-off hit last night, because that would have been a great mm-hmm. ticket to a moment if he would have struck out there and the Rockies would have somehow find a way to win. But Cole Kerrig is by far the best athlete on the Rockies. There's no chinks in his armor, really. I mean, you know, theoretically, at a certain level for how many games he's played in the MLB. And he's the guy that's going to stand up to anybody, and he doesn't care. Like, he knows how good he is, and it's really good to see. The Rockies need more guys to act like that.
What did you make of in the top of the ninth when the Rockies make their run to ultimately send this to extra innings? I mean, we're very close to just having that lead before we got into the bottom of the ninth. Hunter Goodman, I mean, that they reviewed it forever. And it seemed like that maybe it was going to just say we were going to hear it was inconclusive. There wasn't enough there to overturn it. What did you make of that play?
I was shocked they overturned it. Like I said, you know, if they would have called him out, I would have been okay with a review and keeping it the same. And they called him safe originally. I'm not sure, you know, if there's a view we just didn't get on the TV that they have in the replay center there at the MLB or what the story was. But I am shocked that they overturned it. I'm not necessarily shocked they called him out, but the overturn of that was really shocking to me because there was no definitive reviews that we got that showed that he was clearly out. So I thought they would stick with the call. And it's really unfortunate because that, you know, the Rockies, they do score in the top of the 10th and obviously give up another run in the bottom of the 10th and then give up one in the 11th to lose. But that right there probably wins you the game, that call and that change of call. So pretty unfortunate in the moment, but I'm shocked that they overturned it.
I am too. I know it looked like the guys were pretty upset. Warren Schaefer looked pretty upset with it. But what more can you say about Hunter Goodman too? I mean, he's creating such a reputation. Pitchers are terrified of this dude. But it's his leadership that I have. You know, again, he's blasting away, man. He's hitting home runs. I love it. But it's really the leadership portion of his game that's standing out to me, at least the last week or so. He is really becoming that unchallenged kind of captain of this team.
Yeah, and the greatest thing about Hunter Goodman is he's doing it a lot like Charlie Blackmon did, where, you know, sometimes, especially when the Rockies were going through this really rough period these past couple of years, and it felt like you didn't have any leadership on the team. And, you know, the team will tell you differently. If you ask any of them, they'll say, oh, well, this guy and this guy. And Hunter Goodman leads by example. But the biggest issue about leading by example is you have to be a good player to do that, right? You can't go out there and hit 220 and strike out all the time and consider yourself a lead by example guy. Anybody can talk and anybody can speak up and be a vocal leader. But when you're going to be a true leader of the team, he doesn't say much. He's a quiet kid. But he goes out there, puts his body on the line every single day, plays catcher, has one of the best ABS challenge rates. He's got the strike zone down, and then he's going to hit 50 home runs this year. I mean, the guy's been incredible and a true lead by example guy of like, hey, you don't necessarily need to look at me, but I'm going to go out there and grind every single day to be the best player I can be.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies. You mentioned at the start of the segment that this team is believing that they can win these games. They're not intimidated when they go up against the Dodgers, and you feel it. I mean, it's obvious. They're still having fun, but we talked about Cole Kerrig and a little trash back and forth. They are not intimidated by anybody. They believe they could go toe to toe with anybody in this league.
Well, and that's what's great about them being such a young kind of put together team. You know, this nucleus is growing together, and then you've added in piece veteran, if you will call it that, pieces like a Troy Johnston and Tyler Freeman a couple of years back, and so they're this young team that kind of just doesn't really know any better is what they feel like. And once you start winning games as that team, you become extremely dangerous, and it's been fun to watch. And don't get me wrong, you know, the record is still 37-55. It's still, if I think, second worst in the major leagues as of today. They're kind of toying around with a couple of other teams for the worst record in the MLB every single week. But they are starting to believe that they can win. And you're starting to see it in real time. Last year, every game that got close down to the end, you as a fan or as anybody that watches the Rockies, you thought, okay, how are they going to lose this game? And that's not completely shifted. There's still, you know, 55 losses and probably going to lose pretty close to 100 games, if not more. But you get to the end of games, and they've scored the most runs in the eighth and ninth inning of any team in the MLB. So you get to the end of games, and it's becoming a how are the Rockies going to make this interesting? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily win the baseball game, but how are they going to make this interesting? And I'll tell you what, win or lose, that's still fun baseball to watch for what we've dealt with the past 4 years.
I mean, Spencer, this is where we were last year. You know, we were just begging for entertaining games in July, not necessarily the wins. And the Rockies are delivering that now. And it just does feel like one of those stories that we see in sports where it's like, yeah, don't look at the record. Look at what they've done. You know, look at the growth of this team. Look at specifically these players and these hitters. Those are the things I think fans can latch on to as far as getting excited for the future, is maybe not necessarily looking at that record, but seeing the progress that's been made this year.
Yeah, the progress is very important for this team, and it doesn't always result in wins and losses, and that's a tough pill to swallow for fans. I mean, I think Rockies fans have been beaten down enough that it doesn't affect them as much anymore as it used to. But when you look at the wins and losses and you just dive into that, you're going to, which is what the national media does to this team, and it's fair. They don't have time to watch all 30 teams. They just see the record and say, oh, they're the worst teams in baseball. But when you truly cover and follow this team and watch every single game, they're night and day different from last year. And we haven't, the MLB draft is coming up this Saturday. The first trade deadline for the new regime is August 3rd. So they haven't really gotten their hands on this roster yet, right? This has been a testing period of, hey, what guys do we have? And they've had a lot of injuries and a lot of guys that have started games, mostly on the pitching side, and pitched in games that we didn't expect to even be at the major league level this year. So they've been dealing with some issues there, but we'll get to see a true test of, okay, what guys are they going to draft here coming up this weekend? And then when you look at the trade deadline, what moves are they going to make? Hopefully restock some of the pitching and restock the farm system in order to build this thing into a winner over time versus throwing money at good or bad free agents to try to come here and turn this around quicker than you would think.
Spencer, I've asked you a lot over the last weeks, like, who could they potentially trade? Who are the guys that are, untouchable in your mind on this team?
So the untouchable list has changed a lot for me recently, but we did our show today on if the Rockies should trade Jake McCarthy. Mm. And I think he is a piece right now that has a ton of value, and it looks like other teams are interested. So that will be an interesting piece of the non-untouchables. But the untouchables for me right now are kind of your main three younger guys on the infield, and then Cole Kerrig. So it's Cole Kerrig, it's Kyle Karros, it's TJ Rumfield, and it's Hunter Goodman. Those are the four guys that I believe will be, if we're in a wild card race, Brady, imagine this in 2028, let's say, and it's August, September, this team has got 70 wins and they're looking to go about 500 or a couple games over it. Those guys are going to be the catalysts of that team. And anybody else is expendable is tough to say, but really when you're in a situation where they're at, where the major league club has a bad overall record and the farm system is not ranked very highly, and there are not a ton of guys where you're really looking forward to them getting to the major leagues, especially the pitching. You've got Charlie Condon, you've got Zach Bean, you've got Roldy Brito, who's kind of burst onto the scene this year, but he's still 19 years old. The pitching needs to be restocked, and you need to have some exciting arms on the farm system to know that this team is trying to build a consistent winner.
Well, I love it, man. Like, again, watching this team, those four guys you're talking about, too, certainly could see that future is very bright, that maybe we are talking about wild card games and playoff games in the near future with this group. Spencer, my man, what are you working on for us at DNVR Rockies that we can check out throughout the week?
So we're going to be, we have another show on Thursday, 10 a.m. on YouTube, or of course you can always check out our podcast anywhere you listen to them, posted right after the show. We'll do a little bit of, we're going to have a guest on and do a little bit of draft coverage this week, kind of previewing, who the Rockies may pick and why. And I think that's the really important thing about this draft is, yes, due to anti-tanking rules, the Rockies will be picking 10th, but they have three picks in the top 38, so 10, 37 and 38. And I'm not necessarily going to tell you to do a deep dive on who the player and that they draft at 10 and his stats, but I'm very curious to see the types of guys that they're going to draft. Like, C.J. Rumfield was a perfect example of a guy that they specifically targeted because of his metrics and his plate discipline and his ability to put the bat on the ball. And then when you go to the draft, you know, you before this new CBA comes up, you can still draft high school guys. Are they going to go high school heavy? I would assume it's the other, and they go college heavy. They get a 22, 23-year-old guys that can come into maybe double A right away and kind of not speed up the rebuild, but get guys that are more pro-ready. And so it'll be really interesting to see. So we'll cover the draft Thursday, and then next Monday we'll be covering, kind of recapping the entire draft and talking about all the guys the Rockies got. Hopefully some young, promising arms are now in the system of the Rockies.
Excellent work by you as always, my man. And we'll look forward to catching up with you a week from today.
Sounds good, Brady. You have a good week, man.
You too. Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. The four untouchables for him, he's saying Goodman, Rumfield, Carrig, and Karros. So I don't know, you know, at the beginning of the season, you wouldn't have said Rumfield and Cole Carrig. You just want to see what they were up to, you know, what they were going to be. And Rumfield obviously had a great start to the season and still has his moments. Cole Carrig is on fire right now. I that's my guy right now. That's my favorite dude. No question about it. Cole Carrig. Watch that guy play all day. 37 minutes after the hour. More on the Sean Payton stuff, the Broncos' future. What does next season look like? There's a lot of juice around the Broncos. No question about it. And that Seth Wickersham story was 9,000 pages long. There's definitely an interest, a big interest, in what Sean Payton and Bo Nix and this close to historic defense has in store for us. Can they keep it all together? That will be the question. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.